幸福源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年1月15日，星期三。我们再次荣幸地邀请到 Radha Sharan Prabhu 为我们继续来讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya 经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita。Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 20, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth.
今天我们继续来阅读学习永恒的 Chaitanya 经 Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Lila, 中篇逍遥的第二十章主 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导 Sanatana Goswami 有关绝对真理的科学。
So we are speaking this morning from Sridham Mayapur.
今天我们是在 Sridham Mayapur 给大家讲课。
We are very fortunate to be in the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
能够置身在 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的土地，我们感到万分的幸运。
We are actually very close to where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared.
我们现在所在的地方离 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的显现的地方很近。
So every square inch of the land here is none different from Goloka Vrindavan.
这里的每一寸土地都和 Goloka Vrindavan 没有什么分别。
And what is the best occupation for anyone who stays in the holy dham?
那么在圣地所居住的每一个人，他们所做的最重要的事情是什么呢？
To hear and chant.
就是去聆听和唱诵。
But in hearing and chanting, the most important thing is to hear from the sadhus.
那么在聆听和唱诵之中，那更重要的就是我们要从沙度，从圣人那里去聆听。
It is mentioned in the scriptures that if one goes to a holy place just to take bath and take prasadam, then there's not much benefit as much as hearing from the sadhus.
那在经典中有这样的说法，如果一个人去到一个圣地，只是到圣河中去沐浴，那只是去荣耀一些菩萨量的话，那么这样子所获得的这个益处，还不如说非常认真的去聆听圣人。
So the main purpose for being in Mayapur right now is to attend many classes.
所以呢，我们在玛雅普呢会去听很多的课程。
And we are getting great benefit from that.
那从中我们也受益无穷。
And also associating with devotees, which we don't get very much in China.
还有就是能够跟奉献者们有联谊，这个我们在中国的这个机会又不太多了。
So we are very grateful that Srila Prabhupada gave us such facility.
那我们非常的满足 Srila Prabhupada 能够赐予我们这样的一些便利的条件。
So with the discussion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Sanatana Goswami.
那我们在这里讲到了是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sanatana Goswami 之间的对话。
It's important to be very attentive because the instruction that Sanatana Goswami he receives from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are quite systematic and technical.
那在这里呢，有一点是非常的重要的，就是说呢 ，Sanatana Goswami 从 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 那里所获得的这些教导是 非常有体系的，而且呢也是非常的专业性的。
And the example that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving to us is that whatever he says is always supported by Shastric references.
那还有一个就是，无论在这里 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 做一些什么，是以这个 Shastra 经典作为依据的。
Actually, whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, even if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to you good morning, that becomes Shastra.
事实上，不管是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu说什么，哪怕是他只是对你简单的道一声早安，那也会成为经典。
But because Lord Chaitanya is taking the role of a teacher, he must show the proper example of how to teach the science of Krishna consciousness.
因为 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 现在在这个对话当中，他是一个教导者，一个老师的一个身份呢，所以他就得要以身作则的。做一个榜样，告诉我们作为一个老师应当如何去教授。
So he's presenting this particular system of referring to the scriptures, referring to other devotees, and referring to the spiritual master.
所以说呢，他在这里呢，就像我们示范了一个教导的一个方式，在这里他大量的引经据典，他也会引用其他的奉献者。还有呢，这个灵性导师们的话。
And each of them could be coming from a different angle, but they should each support each other.
那么他所说的每一句话可能是从不同的这个角度，但是呢，这些角度呢虽然是有所不同，但是呢都是要相互映照、
whatever,
相互支持的。
Whatever the Shastra says should be confirmed by the Guru.Whatever the guru says should be confirmed by the devotees.
就是无论是经典所说的是什么，那么都要由灵性导师来得到确认，而灵性导师所说的话又会得到其他的奉献者这些圣人们的确证。
In this way, we know we are getting the truth.
这样呢，以这样的一种方式，我们就。
The discussion that takes place in Varanasi is going to spread over a two-month period.
那么在 Varanasi 这个地方，他们所进行的这个对话一直要延续两个月之久。
When Lord Chaitanya met with Sri Ramananda Roy in South India, they also exchanged questions and answers over a period of 10 days.
那么在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在南印度与 Ramananda Roy 见面的时候，他们之间呢也有一场持续的对话，这个对话一共延续了十天。
When Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami, they also did it over a period of 10 days.
那么在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导 Rupa Goswami 的时候，当时也是十天的时间。
When Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami, their conversation went over 7 days.
那当 Parikshit Maharaj 去请教 Sukadeva Goswami 的时候，他们之间的对话延续了七天。
But here, Lord Chaitanya will take 2 months to be with Sanatana Goswami and to every day move forward in his presentation of the science of Bhakti Yoga.
那么在这里呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 将用两个月的时间每天都和 Sanatana Goswami 在一起，每一天他都会在有关于这个 Bhakti Yoga 奉爱瑜伽的科学上逐步推进。
So just to go back a little bit to the context of this pastime,
现在呢我们再回到这个逍遥时光的内容上。
Sanatana Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Sanatana Goswami 来到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的面。
He had already been chosen by Lord Chaitanya to be an empowered devotee.
那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 其实已经拣选了 Sanatana Goswami, 赋予了他力量。
And Sanatana Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the greatest humility.
那 Sanatana Goswami 呢，他带了极大的
It is not possible to hear transcendental knowledge unless one is humble.
那除非一个人能够秉持着一种谦卑的心态，否则是不可能聆听并吸收到超然的知识的。
And in this case, humility is expressed in a matter of not knowing anything.
那在这里的这个谦卑的表现就是说我是一无所知的。
If we don't know anything, then there are good chances that we can hear.
如果我们一无所知的话，那么我们就有极大的可能去聆听。
Even if we have a lot of knowledge, even if we are very highly educated, when we enter the realm of the bhakti, the science of bhakti yoga, we should set our mind and set our hearts that we don't know anything.
那即便是我们之前受过很高的教育，或者说呢，学识非常的渊博，但是当我们进入到Bhakti Yoga 奉爱瑜伽的这个知识领域中的时候，我们也要摆正自己的一种心态，就是说我是一无所知的，我应当去谦卑的聆听。
Yesterday, from the balcony of our home, we were watching the farmers, working on the rice fields.
那昨天呢，我们站在家里的这个阳台上面。那就可以看到对面有一片田野，那农民们现在呢正在这片田野里面种庄稼。
Now for now, those rice fields is just mud and water.
那现在呢，你是看不到这个庄稼的影子的，现在都是整个这个田地就是水和泥土。
So yesterday the men they came to plow, practically speaking, they're just moving mud with water.
那昨天呢，那些农民他们就在犁地，犁地就是说把这个泥地啊给它翻一遍。
To prepare the soil.
这个是为了让这个土壤能够先做好准备。
And then just like in China, you see how they plant. I don't know about big rice field plantation, but local farmers in China they all come in line, and then they all stick the rice, right?And then they move forward like this.
那就是说，在中国，我们可能也能看到这样的情景，在非常大的这个稻田里面，然后呢，这个农民们他们就会弯着腰，然后挨个的去插秧，一排一排，非常的整齐。
So first we prepare the field, which means there is nothing, so that the plant can be planted.
那所以说现在呢，就要把这个地，这个稻田，首先先犁一遍。这样子呢，先把它弄干净了，这样子就可以适合去播种。
So previously in the teachings of Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya had explained that the conditioned soul wanders throughout the universe from one species of life to another, aimlessly.
那么就是在前面的什么呢？在前面 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Rupa Goswami 的那个对话当中，他曾经提到说，受条件限制的。灵魂就是漫无目的的在这个宇宙中流浪，从一种生命的种族到另外的一种生命的种族。
And the word used is bhagyavan. Bhagyavan means most fortunate.
他这里他用了一个词叫 bhagyavan， 他的意思就是说是最幸运的。
After wandering endlessly throughout the universe, one by great fortune comes in contact with a spiritual master.
就是这样的一个漫无目的的在宇宙中流浪的受条件限制的灵魂，当他非常幸运的时候，就会遇到一位真正的灵性导师。
And the spiritual master plants the seed of bhakti.
灵性导师会把 bhakti 奉爱的种子植入到他的心间。
And by imparting knowledge to such a conditioned soul.The bhakti plant begins to grow.
那么当这样的一个受条件限制的灵魂被播入 bhakti 奉爱的这个种子之后呢，这样的种子就会生根发芽。
So, based on that principle, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatan Goswami.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is also instructing Sanatana Goswami.
But he makes a very important point which we covered last week.
那在这里呢, 他讲到了一个要点, 这个要点我们上一周已经讲过了。
He says that the conditioned souls cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort.
他说呢, 受条件限制的灵魂是不可能被一己之力来恢复他的Krishna知觉的。
The desire may be there.
那么这样的灵魂, 他可能有, 还是有愿望的。
The qualification may be there.
他也许也有资格。
But on our own, it is not possible to revive pure spiritual consciousness.
但是呢, 凭着一己之力, 我们是不可能复苏纯粹的性知觉的。
Because this is the material world. This material world is called Dwarga.
因为呢, 我们现在的, 这叫物质世界, 物质世界就是Durga。
Durga means fortress.
Durga的意思就是城堡。
Once you are in, you can't get out.
当你进到这个城堡中的时候, 你就很难出来了。
And that's why conditioned souls take one breath after another, because it's not possible to get out.
这就是为什么受条件限制的灵魂, 它会一次又一次的投生, 因为要冲出这个堡垒是非常的困难, 是不可能的。
It's only through the help of someone who is outside that fortress that we can.
只有在这个城堡上的外面的这个人助, 我们一臂之力, 我们才可能冲出这个城堡。
So once we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, we see that there are three elements that come into play.
当我们接触到Krishna知觉的时候, 你就看到呢,很快就有三个因素在发挥作用了。
One is the Shastra. We come in contact with literature, with spiritual science.
那首先就是Shastra,经典, 也就是说承载着灵性科学的文献。
We get the Bhagavad Gita.
比如说呢, 我们获得了一部《薄伽梵歌》,
or even a small book.
或者是一部小书,
anything that talks about Bhakti Yoga.
就是凡是讲述 Bhakti Yoga, 奉爱瑜伽的书。
And we may be very attracted to the content of the book.
那我们可能被这部书这个内容所吸引。
Or we may attend a lecture in a yoga center or any other venue where a devotee presents the philosophy of Krishna
consciousness.
And we become attracted to the message, but we may not understand everything about this message.
那我们可能会被这些信息所吸引, 但是呢,对于这些信息背后的这个意义可能还不太了解, 不太理解。
I remember in the early 70s, I saw a cover of the Bhagavad Gita. I had no idea what this book is about, but I thought, wow, this looks like a very powerful book.
我还记得70年代初的时候，我第一次看到了《薄伽梵歌》的这个封面，当时我根本就不明白这部书到底是讲什么的。但是我一看到这本书，就觉得啊，这本书是，就是非常的有力量。
And many people used to, in my circle of friends, everybody was talking about the Bhagavad Gita.
在我的这个朋友圈，当时的这个朋友圈，所有的人都在谈这部书《薄伽梵歌》。
But I was so afraid to open the book because I thought it's too powerful.
但是呢, 我非常怕, 心里有恐惧, 我不敢打开这本书, 我觉得这本书呢, 可能是非常神秘的。
So I didn't open it for years.
所以有大概很多年, 我都没有打开这本书。
And then one day I said, okay, I'm going to read this book.
然后有一天我就下定决心开始, 我要正式的阅读这本书了。
And then I read the first chapter.
然后我就读了第一章,
and I thought, what is this book all about?
然后我就在想, 这本书是讲什么的呀?
A battlefield?
难道就是一场战争吗?
Warriors?
战士,
weapons,
武器,
someone confused,
有些人, 这里面还讲到一个特困惑的人,
I closed the book.
然后呢, 我就把这本书给关上了。
I thought, this book is supposed to be about spirituality, but it's about warfare.
因为呢我之前的想的是这个书里面应当是有非常高超的灵性的知识, 但是没想到第一章一打开里面居然讲的是战争。
So I didn't read the book.
所以我当时就没读下去。
Until I sat down with a devotee who practices Krishna consciousness.
直至后来当我跟一个奉献者坐下来, 我才真正的开始理解,
then the content of the Bhagavad Gita began to make sense.
那么这个时候呢, 我的内容呢, 就开始有了意义在我的眼中。
So, scriptures come to our life.
所以说呢, 经典会出现在我们的生命中。
And we may not understand everything because philosophy is not always appreciated by everyone.
但是呢,我们可能不一定就会对这个经典当中的这些内容呢,都能够理解,因为这个哲学并不是每一个人都能够欣赏的。
But there is a very important element which is going to maintain us in our desire to know more.
但是呢，肯定是有一个非常重要的这个因素，一直支撑着我们想要进一步探寻的愿望。And
that element is the super soul.
那这个因素呢，就是我们的超灵。Krishna
within the heart of all living entities knows everything that we want and everything that we need and everything that we aspire for, whether it is material or spiritual.
那在每一个生物体心中的这个超灵, 它是对每一个生物体都是了如指掌的, 它对它的所思所想, 对它的愿望, 对它的需要都是了如指掌的。
So even when we come for the first time in contact with Krishna consciousness, we have to understand that the super soul is responsible for that first contact.
即便是我们有幸初次接触到了Krishna直觉，我们也要知道，它是我们的心中的这个超灵，它在这里负责，让我们有机会接触到了Krishna直觉。
And the Super Soul, the Paramatma, guides us towards the spiritual master.
这个心中的超灵Paramatma就会指引着我们，把我们
So now we have three elements, the scriptures, the super soul within the heart, and the spiritual teacher.
现在呢,我们就有这个三个人,第一个就是经典,然后呢,就是心中的超灵,然后呢,是灵性导师。
Now these three combined together, technically speaking, is called Sambandha.
那这三者呢? 聚合在一起,统一在一起的话, 那么有一个术语可以就叫做 Sambandha.
So Sambandha means to, Bandha means to bind. Sambandha means everything comes together, everything is bound together.
Bandha的意思就是连接, Sambandha的意思就是好多的这个元素连接在一起。
So the knowledge of the scriptures, the identity of the spiritual master, the Lord within the heart, and how we understand those three is called Sambandha.
所以说呢,有经典中的知识,然后呢,有这个灵性导师,指引我们的灵性导师,然后呢,还有心中的这个超灵, 那么去理解他们之间的这种关系就叫 Sambandha.
In other words, when we understand our position as conditioned soul, that we are in the material world, this material world is a creation of Krishna, and the spiritual teacher is there to help us out of this material world.
换句话说, 我们就会 理解到我们是受条件限制的灵，被束缚在这个物质世界当中。这个物质世界是由 Krishna 所创造的，而灵性导师呢，他就是来引导我们、指导我们、来帮助我们这个物质世界解脱的。
But this is only theoretical. These are only information.
但是我们刚才说的这些还是理论性的，是一个信息。
Even understanding the fact or accepting the fact that we are eternal servant of Krishna, this only remains a theory.
即便是我们能够接受我们是永恒的 Krishna 的仆人，那这个如果仅凭是接受的话，那它依然还是理论。
It's like if the mother tells the child, "My dear boy, I am your mother."
啊，就好像一个母亲对他的儿子说，我亲爱的孩子，我是你妈妈。
And you were born from my womb.
嗯，你是从我的肚子里出来的。
And I love you.
我很爱你。
So you're talking to your child that way.
啊，你就这样对你的孩子说。
But if you don't feed the child, if you don't maintain the child, if you don't show your love to the child, then it's only words.
啊，但是呢，你也不给孩子吃的。也不照看他，也不养育他，那么你所说的就仅仅是停留在口头上。
So there has to be some practical application to those words.
所以呢，这些话它必须也要有一个途径去实际的运用，实际的体现在行动之中。
So Sambandha is preliminary knowledge.
所以 Sambandha 从基础上来说，它就是知识。
And to prove that we understand and to prove that we are appreciating, then we move to the next level, which is called Abhideya.
那为了要去证明我们是理解这门知识，并且是欣赏和感恩这门知识的，我们就要经历到这个 Abhideya 的历程。
So Abhideya is practical application of that knowledge.
Abhideya 的意思就是对这门知识的实际的运用和实践。
And this is where we actually show and express the fact that we have understood our position, and it's a space where we express our love and devotion.
那么就是通过这样的一个过程呢，我们就能够证明我们是真正的理解的，而且呢也是一个去体现我们的爱和感恩之情、欣赏之情的这样一个过程。
And the result of Abhideya is that we actually grow in the process of Bhakti Yoga, and the heart grows into a phase where pure love can be expressed.
那么然后呢，就接下来就到了第三个这个阶段了。那这个 prayojana 呢，就是说让我就我们不是到第三个阶段。那么也就是说，在这个 Abhideya 第二的这个阶段的这个经历当中呢，我们就是在 Bhakti Yoga 在 Krishna 知觉当中得到了这个成长，然后我们的心呢也逐渐的得到了这个成长，然后我们的心绽放展开了，然后就有了这个爱的产生。
So this is called Krishna Madhurya Sevananda Praptira Karana Krishna Sevakare Ara Krishna Rasa Ashwadhana. One attains the transcendental bliss of an intimate relationship with Krishna, renders service to him, and tastes the mellows of Krishna consciousness. This is the ultimate goal of Bhakti Yoga.
那么然后呢，我们就达到了这样的一个 Bhakti Yoga 的一个终极的一个目标。在这个时候呢，一个人他就会在亲密的关系当中达到超然的极乐。他不仅他呢在对 Krishna 从事这个奉献服务的过程当中，一直不断的在品味着 Krishna 知觉的甘美。
So in the world of yoga, there may be some very vague, most people have very vague concept about what is the goal of yoga.
那在这个瑜伽的 去休息的过程当中，可能有好多人他对于 yoga 瑜伽是什么，还是这个概念还是模糊不清的。
But yoga is actually very, very specific and goal oriented.
其实呢，这个瑜伽呢，它的这个定义是非常清晰的，非常明确的，而且呢，这个瑜伽一定是遵循着一个特定的目标的。
In other words, there may be different levels of yoga, but we have to understand there is an ultimate goal in yoga.
换句话说呢，这个瑜伽它可能体现着不同的阶段、不同的层级，但是呢，它一定都会指向一个最终极的目标。
Even if those who practice yoga may not be able to reach the highest level, they should understand there is a highest level.
但是那些休息瑜伽，但是还达不到这个最终的目标的人，那他们也要能理解，的确，对于瑜伽而言是有一个终极性的目标的，虽然我现在还达不到。
And that ultimate goal is pure unconditional love for Krishna.
那这个终极的这个目标就是对 Krishna 的对的无条件的爱。
So, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is where we begin today, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to give, he's going to tell a story based on an analogy.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 今天要给我们讲的就是一个故事，这个故事当中呢，是充满着这个比喻的。
So he says, once a learned astrologer came to the house of a poor man, and seeing his distressed condition, questioned him.
现在就开始讲故事了。他说很久以前有一个非常渊博的一个星象师，他就来到了一个穷人的家里。他看到这个穷人呢，他就是非常的难过，所以就开始询问他。
So this is astrology is very, very common and is very much used.Especially in the world today.
那现在呢，当时的这个星象占星也是非常的风行的，一直到现在的这个社会当中，占星它也是一个非常常见的。
Whether it's Western astrology, Vedic astrology, Chinese astrology, everyone's interested.
就是一说到这个星象的话，不管是西方的这个占星术啊，还是印度的这个古印度的这个传统的韦达的这个占星，还是我们中国人的这个算命啊，这些的也都是大家非常喜欢的。
Because astrology has the ability to tell you something about yourself, something about your past, and especially something about the future.
那这个占星术呢，它就可以告诉你你是怎么样的一个人，你过去呢都是经历了一些什么，然后最重要的还是要对你的这个未来呢，它有一个占卜。
Prabhupada says not just astrology, but also palmistry.
那 Prabhupada 他说不光是占星呢，还有看手相也是这样子的。
People read the lines of your hand, and they'll tell you what is going to be your future.
那就是这个占星师呢，或者手相，看手相的，他算命的，他看看你的这个掌纹，他就知道你这个未来会是怎样的。
Or sometimes people use numerology.
或者是呢，这个叫什么数字算命。
So every year in China we have, last year was the year of the pig.
比如说去年是猪年。
Right?Yeah, I mean up until now it's the year of the pig, and then next year after January 27th will be the year of the rat.
然后新年到了呢，就是鼠年了。
So there are 12 signs in Chinese astrology.
就是我们中国呢，它也讲究这个十二属相。
And people are very interested in what these different animals represent and how they impact their lives.
对中国的人呢，他对于这个属相也是非常的着迷的。 就是这个属相当中的每一种属相每一种动物它到底意味着什么它对我们的这个生命对我们的生活有什么样的这个影响
So when people are depressed, when people are unhappy, when people are in danger, when people are confused, they go to an astrologer so they can clarify what is their situation.
那有的人呢他们身陷痛苦的时候感到非常的这个压抑啊迷茫的这个时候呢就有可能去找一个占星师或者一个算命的给他来讲一讲他的这个情况来澄清一下他的这个情况能够去除掉自己的一些疑惑
So, astrology for people is like a ray of light because actually people, the reason why people are interested in astrology is because they just don't know. They are covered by ignorance.
所以说呢这个占星师对很多陷于这种困顿迷茫中的人来说就好像是一线曙光一样因为其实处在这样的一种精神状态中的人是深深的陷在这个无知的这个愚昧之中就好像深陷在黑暗中一样的
Now Prabhupada explains in this verse that normally people they go to an astrology because they want to know am I going to be rich, am I going to be healthy, am I going to get married, am I going to buy a house, am I going to live long
那一般来说呢这个人们来到这个占星师的面前就是想让对方算一算算算自己能不能发财能不能长命百岁能不能有大房子会不会结婚能不能找到一份好工作等等的
So Prabhupada takes the example of Sanatana Goswami Sanatana Goswami approached he didn't go to an astrologer he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what did he ask him who am I
但是呢这个 Sanatana Goswami 呢他却不是来到一个占星师的这个面前他来到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的面前他所提的问题是什么呢？我是谁
？So this is Prabhupada says this is the right question to ask.
那Prabhupada他说，这样的这个问题呢，是问对了。
It's not that you go to an astrologer and you say, "Am I going to be rich?" No, say, "Who am I?"
来到一个占星师的这个面前，你问的问题不是说我能不能发大财，而是说。我是谁
So in other words, the Vedic scriptures and the spiritual master are the greatest of all astrologers.
所以说呢，伟达经典还有灵性导师，实际上就是最伟大、最卓越的占星师了。
Because astrology can deal with karma, can deal with destiny, but Krishna consciousness will make you overcome any material condition. Regardless of the situation, and keeps you Krishna conscious.
那换句话说呢，占星师他所面对的都是这个 karma， 还有业报，还有命运的这个问题。但是呢，这个 Krishna 知觉，它却能够让你去超越这些物质的局限，去超越你的这个命运所施加给你的这个局限，告诉你。经典能够告诉你怎么样一直的保持在这个 Krishna 知觉之中。
In other words, as a devotee, let's say you go to an astrologer and he says, "Well, you're not going to have a lot of money in this lifetime."
那换句话说，我们举个例子，比如说一个奉献者来到一个占星师的这个面前，那这个占星师可能就告诉他，你这辈子不会有钱。
Well, that may be a fact based on your karma, but to be Krishna conscious, nothing can stop you.
那么从你的这个 karma 业报来说的话，命相来说的话，可能你这辈子真的是没有什么财运的啊。但是呢，没有什么状况可以会阻止你的 Krishna 知觉。
Oh, the astrologer may tell you may have some physical difficulties, some illness coming your way.
那么就是一个占星师他可能也会。给你这预言说你可能会有一些身体上的一些疾患，可能会生病啊什么的。
And that may happen, but because you have the science of Krishna consciousness, you can tolerate and even transcend those obstacles.
那他说的可能确实这样，的确可能会有生病，但是呢， 认识到知觉，它却可以帮助你去很好的去忍受你的这个疾病，甚至去超越这个疾病，达到一个超然的理解。
So we have to be very careful when if we are interested to know about our future to approach astrology.
所以说呢，当我们对自己的这个未来充满着这个幻想和兴趣，来到一个占星师的这个跟前去让他给你算命的时候，你就得要小心一些了。
As a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his young years, he was very interested in astrology, so much so that he became the most expert astrologer in the whole of India.
事实上 Srila Prabhupada 的灵性导师 Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 在早年的时候就是对这个星象占星术有着浓厚的这个兴趣，而且呢他是这方面的天才，他之后呢他就成了当时这个印度的一位最出色的占星师星象大师。
And he wrote a book called Surya Siddhanta.
他后来还写了一部有关占星的一部著作，叫做 Surya Siddhanta.
That explains everything on the science of astrology.
那这个在这部书里面呢，就是谈到了关于占星的这门科学星象学的这个方方面面。
And then when he became deeply involved with the practice of Krishna consciousness, he threw everything away.
后来呢，他就深深的沉浸到了 Krishna 知觉的这个修习之中，所以呢，他就把这之前的所有的他这些非常擅长的这些星象啊什么的，全部都扔掉了。
So people ask him, why are you neglecting, turning your back on such a powerful science?
那有的人就觉得非常的奇怪了，说这个星象学是这么伟大的一门科学，你为什么要去抛弃它，要背离这样的一门？
He said, because devotional service to Krishna is far more powerful than any astrological calculation.
他说这个奉爱服务呢，要比所有的这占星术都要强大的多。
So, in this case, it's not the person, the poor man that goes to the astrologer, it's the astrologer that comes to the poor man.
在这个故事里面，所有的并不是这个穷人来去找一个占星师，而是这个占星师呢主动来到了这个穷人的跟前。
And the astrologer is asking, Tumi kene duki, tomara ache pritidhan, tomare na kalila anyatra chadila jivan. The astrologer is asking, why are you unhappy? Your father was very wealthy, but he did not disclose his wealth to you because he died somewhere else.
那这个星象师就对他说呢，你为什么那么不快乐呢？你的父亲其实是非常的有钱的，但是他客死异乡，所以呢，一直没有机会告诉你财富藏在哪里。
So, pay attention to this story.
所以在这里呢，要这个注意这个故事。
We have the poor man and we have the astrologer.
就是这个故事里是这样讲的，这里有两个人物，一个是穷人，还有一个是占星师。
The astrologer knows something that the poor man does not.
这个占星师呢，他知道一个事实，但是这个事实呢，是这个穷人所不了解的。
And what the astrologer knows is there is wealth somewhere.
那这个占星师呢，他就知道这个穷人他其实并不是真正的没有钱，他是有财富的，不过就是说这个财富不知道在什么地方，他不知道在什么地方。
There is a treasure somewhere.
就是说有财宝藏在某一个地方，但是呢这个穷人呢他又一无所知。
But because the father of the poor man died somewhere else, he never told him where that treasure is.
那么就是因为这个穷人的这个父亲
他是死在异乡了，所以说他一直呢没有告诉他的儿子这笔财富藏在哪里。
I mean, can you imagine someone comes to you and say, hey, your father, he died somewhere in America, but before he left for America, he buried 10 million RMB somewhere in China, but sorry, I don't know where it is.
你想象呢，有一个人突然间在你面前冒出来跟你说，哦，你的父亲在这个You mean you are in America, the father
is father who's gone to America.
你的父亲啊，当时去了这个美国，然后死在这个美国了。然后他其实在中国给你藏了1000万人民币的财富，只不过就是你还不知道，他没有告诉你。
I mean, basically speaking, you wouldn't sleep at night wondering where is that money.
那你要听到了这个消息的话呢？可能晚上都睡不着觉了，然后成天在想这个钱藏在哪。
Normally before the parents die or the husband die, they write a will, and on the will they write everything that they give away to the children.
一般来说就是父母在临终前或者是丈夫妻子临终之前，他们都会写下这个遗嘱，在遗嘱里面写着给这个孩子们留下了多少多少钱什么的。
And many times there are huge disputes among the children how to share the wealth of the.
然后很多时候，这个子女呢会对这个父母的遗产的继承权，然后就是争执不休。
There was a movie where.A very super, super wealthy man had died, and he had many people in the inheritance, and they all gathered together, and normally it's the lawyer that comes and reads out the will.
有这样的一部电影就是这样说的，有一个大富翁他死了，然后他有很多的这个继承人，然后这些继承人就聚集到一起，然后呢，这个按理说在这个时候就会有一个律师。这个律师呢，就是代表死去的人来读这个遗嘱。
So everybody is in the room really excited and very nervous about what the lawyer is going to read.
所以这个时候呢，这个大家都聚集到这个房间里了，每个人都激动不安，然后迫不及待的等待着这个律师来宣布自己究竟能够继承多少的财产。
And the lawyer reads that your father had so many estates and he had so much cash in the bank and so much gold in the home, and they all get excited.
然后呢，这个律师就会向大家宣布说，你们的这个父亲挣了多少多少钱，然后呢，在这个银行里存了多少钱，然后有多少的这个金子、金币什么什么的。
And then he says,
大家都非常的激动。
He says, but,He didn't leave anything for you.
但是呢，这个电影 in the movie， 然后呢，这个律师就接下来就是宣布说，但是呢，他没有给你们留下分文。
He left it to his most reliable, loyal companion, his dog.
然后这个律师就接下来就就是正式的这个宣布说，他把。所有的这些万贯家财呢，都留给了他最忠实的伙伴，就是他生前的那条狗。
So this is the material perverted reflection of being excited at the idea of receiving a treasure.
这个就是一个物质的一个扭曲的一个例子，就是一个人他会为可能会继承的这个财产。而感到激动不安。
So here the situation is a little bit different.
那我们在这里所讲的这个故事是不一样。
The astrologer knows something the poor man does not.
就是说呢，这个占星师他知道这个穷人拥有的一些他自己都不知道的财富。
So similarly, when we come in contact.Here you can say the astrologer is the supreme lord, or the astrologer is the spiritual master. And you come in contact with such a person who knows something you don't know.
在这里呢，我们可以这样来理解，就是这个占星师，这个星象师，就是代表着这个 Krishna， 或者说灵性导师。也就是说呢，他知道一些你自己并不知道的东西。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the scriptures, the Vedic literature, is giving information to one who is inquisitive. When one is in distressed condition, one approaches the absolute truth.
那在这里呢，就是讲到了这个韦达经典呢，它就会让那些有这个好奇心的人，或者说去在这个痛苦之中的人，或者说去追求这个知识的人，让他们去揭示。
So when we come in contact with the Vedic literatures, with transcendental knowledge,We begin to excavate, we begin to search, where is that treasure, and what is that treasure?
那当我们去翻开充满着超然的知识的伟大经典的时候，我们就开始在探索，开始去发掘，这笔财富究竟在哪里呢？我们就开始了挖掘了。
And because we are engaged in excavating,Like when you excavate a cave to look for a treasure, this is where you begin your relationship with Krishna.
当你去开始去挖掘这个宝山的时候，举例来说，藏着这个珍宝的这个岩洞的时候，其实你就是开始去探索你和 Krishna 之间的关系了。
And then Prabhupada quotes a nice verse from the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani,Vartmani nani cha arjuna, bhavishyani cha bhutani, mam tu vedana kaschana. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. Also, I know all the living entities, but me, no one knows.
在这里呢 ，Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》里面就说过这样的一段话，他说呢，Arjuna 啊，作为至尊人格神首，我了解过去发生的一切，现在发生的一切，以及未来即将发生的一切，我了解所有的生物体，但是我却无人知道。
So, Krishna.He is situated within the heart of all living entities, and he knows everything about us, but we don't know who he is.
就是Krishna 他是在每一个生物体的这个心中的，但是我们这些生物体却不知道他是谁，对他一无所知。
From the moment that we enter the material space, the material universe, Krishna accompanies us through every species of life.And he is with us at every moment, when we sleep, when we awake, when we work, always there, witnessing.
那其实是从我们，当我们堕落到这个物质世界的这个宇宙中的时候 ，Krishna 他就是以这个超灵的形象，他就一直伴随着我们，他伴随着我们进入到了各种各样的不同的生命种之中，无论我们是醒着还是在睡眠。还是在活动，还是在静止，无论在任何这个时候呢，他都一直伴随着我们。他是一个见证者，他见证了我们所有的活动。
If we take the body of a worm, Krishna is in the heart with us. We take the body of a cow, Krishna is in the heart with us. Take the body of a rat, Krishna is in the heart constantly accompanying every single living entity on their journey in this material world.
不管是我们是获得的是一个蠕虫的躯体，还是进入到这个奶牛的身体里，还是进入到老鼠的身体里面，那这个 Krishna 他都一直的在伴随着我们，无论我们去到哪里，他都和我们在一起，都见证了我们的一切。
And then finally, when we decide to turn to Krishna, then the relationship is established,
And then the excavation to find the treasure begins.
那当我们有朝一日转向这个Krishna 的时候呢，那我这个我们就和 Krishna 之间的这个关系就开始逐渐的这个恢复了，那我们的这个探宝的这个挖掘工程就正式的开启了。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, although being assured of his father's treasure, the poor man cannot acquire this treasure just by knowledge alone. Therefore, the astrologer had to inform him of the means whereby he could actually find the treasure.
那这段话的意思就是说，这个穷人虽然对于自己父亲的这个财富是确信不疑的，但是仅凭这样的了解，他还没有办法获得这笔财富。因此呢，这个星象师必须要告诉他如何去找到这笔财富的方法，这样呢，这个穷人才能够获得。
In other words, like I mentioned before, we may have knowledge, we may read the books, we may understand theoretically, but by knowledge alone, we cannot find this treasure. This is why there are so many people who read so many books on the science of Bhakti Yoga. They still cannot find the ultimate goal because something is missing.
这就是为什么，就是说，书里面可能有，经典里面有很多的这个知识，但是呢，有很多人他们看了大量的这个书籍，对其中的这个知识呢，非常的这个了解，但是呢，他还是没有办法找到这个真正的宝藏的。因为仅凭是这个知识，仅凭这个理论还是不够的，在这里一定是还是有所缺失。
Like we are distributing so many Bhagavad Gita.
这就好比说，我们派了这么多的果迦梵歌，这么多的经典。
Or like in America, the devotees, they go on the street, they don't just distribute one book at a time. They distribute 7, 8, 10 books at a time, and then they send photos of people who are buying with a big smile. They have 7 different books they take home.
那这就好像在这个美国，他们奉献者派书，不是说每次只派一本的，经常是7本、8本、10本的，一整套的在派。所以他们也经常会放一些这个照片，这照片上面这个买书的人这个笑容灿烂的捧着这一大堆书。
But it's not that people will go home and start reading all these books and suddenly they become pure devotees. There's a lot of work to do.
但是这并不意味着这些人拿着这些书回到家里，他就一定会非常认真的去阅读，然后很快就会成为纯粹的奉献者。不是这样简单的，在这个过程当中还有很多的努力。
But Prabhupada explained these books, when they are placed in people's home, it's as good as installing a deity of Krishna.
但是释迦牟尼佛他指出，当这些书进入到千家万户的时候，就好比是这个神像在这个人的这个家里正式的设立。
And the book may sit on the shelf for many years until one day at the right moment.The person says, the person will be in a situation of distress, they will see the book, they will open the book, and then their journey will begin.
那么就是有一天可能这个人在最合适的那个时间最合适的一个境况下面，在他的生命感到暗淡无边的时候，他这个时候可能就会找到的这个，就会想起他的书架上面束之高阁的这部书，然后他把这本书打开了，然后去接触里面的这个超然的知识。
So now the astrologer is going to give some indication to the poor man where to dig to find the treasure.
然后呢，这个现在这个占星师就要给这个穷人一些指示，告诉他应当往哪个方向去挖。然后就能够逐渐的找到这个财宝。
Because there's only so many places you can look for that treasure.
因为呢，就是能找到这个财宝的这个地方，
也不是那么的多，就这几个选择。
If you dig in the north, if you dig in the east, if you dig in the west, if you dig in the south.
啊，就是东南西北四个方向。嗯，如果你按照这四个方向去挖掘的话，就有可能找到财宝。
Like sometimes people they dig to look for a treasure, and they dig so deep and they can't find anything when the treasure is just like 3 meters away.
嗯，就好像有的人他使劲的这个掘地挖宝，使劲的挖，使劲挖也没有挖到，但是这个财宝可能只不过就在旁边3米远的地方，是。
So, we're going to stop here, and in our next class, we will discover where the poor man is digging and what he finds.
嗯，那么我们今天的课就先讲到这里了。下一周我们就仔细的来讲这个穷人呢，他这个东南西北各个方向他都是怎么挖的，他挖到了什么，他发现了什么。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.我们现在来看一下大家有没有问题。嗯。啊，我们等苏穆基拉德玛塔吉给我们转发大家提的问题，我们大家等一下。现在我们看到一个问题哈 ，Radha Ananda Hare Krishna， 请大圣境的帕布提如何理解经典中所说的自动到来的好处？感恩。The question is from Radha Ananda. How to understand what is said in the scriptures about the benefits automatically comes to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes we can get some benefits that comes in our way automatically.
Firstly, we have to read and understand scriptures through the help of another person.
Don't do that. 自己的
另外就是
This is very important. Because we may read something, it may make sense, but we may not fully comprehend the meaning of it. So,Reading, I mean, anything we read from the Vedic literature is purifying.
Hare Krishna, Madaji, 声音有点不太顺畅，比较断续，可能是信号不太好。现在好一些。刚刚那一句话就听不到。
Can you repeat what you said just now?
I need to know if you can hear properly.
现在能听得清吗？
现在可以了。那请重复一下刚刚说过的。
听不清你的声音，你的声音是断断续续的。
啊，我们现在能够听到您的，可以的。
啊，好，清楚吗
？OK.
So you said I didn't understand the question. Can you rephrase the question?
Because it is in the scripture, it is mentioned that there is some benefit which comes automatically.
Yes.
It's not about reading shastra or reading books.
No, but I want to make that point also. The point is that transcendental knowledge is not part of this material world. It's transcendental. It's not from this world. Therefore, it has an impact on the conditioned soul.Especially on the heart of the conditioned soul.
那超然的这个知识呢，它并不是属于这个物质世界的，而它是来自于这个灵性世界的。所以呢，它对于这个物质世界的受局限的这个灵魂，它是有一种很大的冲击力的，一种强大的影响力。
Even physically speaking, the Prabhupada says, even if you touch the book.Prabhupada says if you read one page, one paragraph, one sentence, one word, you get benefit because it's transcendental knowledge.
那就像帕帕他说的，哪怕你只是触碰了一下这部经典，或者说你只是翻开某一页，或者你只是读了这一页上的一行字、一句话或者是一个字，其实你也是获得了灵性的这个益处，因为它是超然的知识。是灵性的，所以它对你会具有巨大的净化力量。
So let alone if you begin to read and try to understand the content of the scripture.
那更不用说你去开始正式的去阅读经典，那就这种净化力量就更强大了。
It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this transcendental knowledge creates a revolution within the heart.
佛家法坛里面说，超然的这个知识会给你的内心掀起一场革命。
And that revolution is there for the misguided condition of the living entities. People are misguided because they are influenced by ignorance. Transcendental knowledge comes and creates this revolution.
那么在这个物质世界里，备受局限的这些、备受约束的这些灵魂呢？之前就是一直被这个愚昧所误导的，深陷在无知之中，所以说超然知识的这个到来就会给他的心中掀起一场革命。
And transcendental knowledge purifies the heart.
超然的这个知识呢是可以净化他的心的。
Whether we understand or not.
无论是我们是理解了还是不理解。
So, what to speak if you do understand the content of transcendental knowledge?
那就更不用说你真的去理解到这个经典的内容了。
Then you can make tremendous spiritual progress. Not only that, but you can help others too.
那么就是这样呢，你就可以获得非常大的这个进步了。而且这样子的话，你不仅自己这个受益，你还可以帮助别人。
Okay, so for example, you have places like in India or even in China.
people hardly know how to read, and yet they can experience Krishna consciousness.
就好像在印度也好，在中国的也好，有一些人他可能就是都不会看书，就是不认字的，但是呢，他却也能够真切的体验到 Krishna 知觉。
Because if they don't understand the scriptures, they come in contact with those who do understand the scriptures.
因为你即便是他们不能读，也理解不了经典的话，他们还有机会去接触到那些真正的理解那个经典的人。
And that's why it's mentioned that Vedic literatures in the beginning of Kali Yuga were turned into story forms because the less intelligent people can access the highest knowledge just by hearing stories.
所以说，在这个卡利年代呢，这个经典，伟大经典，它也以这种故事的这个形式呈现了，因为在这个卡利年代的人们的这个智慧降低了，所以说呢，但是又是很爱听故事的，那么通过去聆听这些故事的话呢，在灵性上面就得到了提升。
So one way or another, when we come in contact with transcendental knowledge, we get great benefit.
所以说无论是哪一种方式，只要是我们有机会去接触到这个超然的这个知识的话，我们都会得到这个利益。
But if we are intelligent enough, we shouldn't just read and turn the pages. We should actually sit down and systematically and thoroughly study the content of the book.
那如果说我们足够的有智慧的话，不是说只是心不在焉的坐在那里随便翻翻书而已，这个还不够。我们是真的是要深入进去。然后是一种非常有体系的这个方式去研习。
Like now in the Chinese Yatra, I think there are about 100 devotees who are taking the Bhakti Shastri.
就好像是现在在中国的话，我想可能得有100来个奉献者，现在都在有系统的在学习 Bhakti Shastri, 恩爱的经典。
Lalita Shakti Mataji has set up a very, very important and powerful system of education for the Chinese devotees. They should take advantage of it.
是莱利特香提，他给咱们中国的这个 Yatra 建立了一套非常好的这个教育体系。这个教育体系也是非常有效的。所以我想，我们中国的 devotee 也要好好的利用这样的一个机会。
Okay, next question.
But it's still not very related to the question. It's not about Shastra itself. It's about some benefits that comes to you without your own effort.
That's correct. That's what I've just been explaining. Mm-hmm. Transcendental knowledge benefits the conditioned souls by creating a revolution within the heart.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking for what kind of benefit. Do I get a car by reading Bhagavad Gita? No. We get a purified heart. That is the benefit. There's no other benefit.
就是超然的知识本身，它就是非常的有力量的。它所给你的这个益处呢，就是说它可以给你极大的这个净化力。我们现在要分析的不是说这个好处究竟是什么，总之是无论在任何的这个情况下，以任何的这个途径，当你去接触到这个超然的知识的时候，你就会受益。下一个问题我们来看一下 Sumuki Vada 说，感恩帕布和 Mataji 的精彩讲课，请问我们在最初开始练习风爱瑜伽的时候，
每个人的机缘和根基是不同的，理解度也不同，但是这份财富对于每一个人所给予的都是均等的机会吗？要怎样才能获得最大的灵性利益呢？
So this question is not very much for us. When we embark on the journey of Bhakti Yoga, everyone has different karma, different paths, different foundation of knowledge, and different level of understandings. So does the wealth of knowledge gives equal opportunity to each person? What should we do to attain to the maximum benefits, the spiritual benefits from this journey, from this knowledge? Does it give equal to different people?
Everyone has the same opportunity.
其实每一个人都有着均等的这个机会。
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that he is not partial.
因为呢，在博迦梵歌里面说 ，Krishna 他也是没有这个偏心的。
And Prabhupada gives the example of the father who's got different sons. He is not partial towards his children.
就是在这个，就是他是无所偏袒的，就好像是一个父亲，他有好些这个儿子，那他并不会去偏哪一个。
But obviously, the father will give more attention to those children who are more eager to express their affection towards him.
当然，在这些儿子当中呢，那些对自己的父亲，更渴望去表达他们的爱，跟父亲更加亲的那些孩子，也就自然的就能够更多的得到父亲。
Now, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada gives a very nice example.
在这个正念博迦瓦坦的第一是 Prabhupada 给出一个很好的例子。
In the chapter of the Pandavas retiring to the Himalayas.
就是在这一章里面，就是讲到了 Pandava 五兄弟的退隐。
He says the five Pandavas, they walked.From their palace towards the Himalayas and followed each other.
就是讲到了这潘德拉五兄弟，他们一个跟着一个离开了他们所在的这个宫殿，向喜马拉雅山走去。
And behind them was Draupadi and Queen Kunti.
在他们的后面呢，跟随的就是Kunti 王后和 Draupadi.
They also followed.
那么他们也跟随着。
And one by one, each Pandava left the world.
然后呢，就是 Pandava 五兄弟他们各一个的就离开了这个人世。
Ultimately, was Draupadi and then Queen Kunti.
最后留下的就是 Draupadi 和 Kunti 王后。
So Prabhupada says, on the ground, you may receive a lot of instruction, you may receive a lot of encouragement, you may receive a lot of help.But once you are flying, you are flying your own airplane.
那希拉帕帕他说，当你在地面的时候，你可能还，得到了很多的这个指导，很多的帮助，很多的支持。但是当你真的，飞在这个空中的时候，每个人都要驾驶自己的飞机。
So, in the association of devotees, everybody has got equal opportunity to make spiritual progress, but as you said in your question, not everybody is on the same level.
所以说呢，在我们和奉献者的这个联谊当中，其实大家的这个机会是均等的，所有的人都可以得到联谊，得到帮助，得到指导，得到这个联谊带给我们的益处。但是呢，就像你在这个问题里说到的一样，那每一个人他是在这个他的基础不同，他在不同的这个层面上。
And that's why all the acharyas and the scriptures are emphatic on the fact that association of devotees is the key to make spiritual progress.
所以呢，无论是经典还是这些圣人，他们都一而再、再而三的去强调。和奉献者的这个联谊是成功的秘诀。
Because regardless of your spiritual progress, regardless of your level of advancement, devotees will always be there to support you and help you progress.
因为无论你的这个灵性的这个根基是怎样的，你的这个进步的快慢是怎样的，你的这个灵性的层面是怎样的，奉献者们。总是只要你和奉献者在一起联谊，奉献者们总是能够不断的去提供给你这个帮助的和支持。
And what we could wish for the most is that when it's time to leave this world, that we can be surrounded by devotees because they give us the last push.
然后我们可以去。
渴望的就是什么，就是在我们离开这个世界的时候，我们的身边能够围绕着奉献者，因为这个奉献者在你的这个生命的最后一刻可以给你这个助力，可以给你最后的这个推动。
Okay.
Yes, that's all.
That's it
for
today.
Questions.
Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much, Shumukhi Radha Mataji.
然后我们今天的讲课就到这里了，非常的感谢 Shumukhi Radha Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
非常感谢 Krishna Premi.
Thank you to all the devotees.
感谢所有奉献者的聆听。
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Sanatan Goswami ki jai. Sri Mayapur Dham ki jai. Kashadesh Yatra ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
在昆台之音服务员一聆听，亲爱的奉献今天的永恒的讲课就到这里结束。我们现在讲到的是《玛迦丽拉》中篇骚扰的第二十章，主是切丹尼马哈布布教导三藏和格斯拉米有关绝对真理的科学。我们下周同一时间，好，谢谢。